episode 6 of Podcastonomic, the show dedicated to the business of podcasting. Today on the show, I'm happy to bring on Kai Davis from DoubleYourAudience.com. Kai is an outreach consultant who has a lot of experience both for himself and with helping other customers to get spots on podcasts as guests. Kai really has a great approach to this, both in the technical aspects of it, but also in sort of selling yourself. As you'll hear on the show today, Kai really is a believer that podcasting is a great way to do outreach for yourself and your brand and your business to get exposure to a much wider audience than you would otherwise. Things like blogging probably kind of had their day as an easy way to get exposure to other people's audience and other people's lists, but podcasting really is just coming into its own in terms of a new way for people to get exposure to a different aspect of their niche. So if you're thinking about how can I get myself out there to guest appear on a podcast, this is the show that you really want to listen to. Take notes and listen to what Kai has to say. He's really got the recipe down, and he's doing it for himself in a lot of different ways. He's also doing it as a consulting service. So Kai is available for hire, and you'll hear kind of from what he has to say about how he's helping his clients to get exposure to a much wider range of audience than they would otherwise. So I'm really happy to bring on Kai Davis to the show. Today on the show, we have Kai Davis. Kai, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So Kai and I have known each other for a few months now. I guess we first got introduced through sort of a mutual client. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we first got connected through Brennan Dunn.
Yep. Kai's been doing a lot of interesting work, I think, in podcasting, getting into podcasting directly through some pretty neat areas that I wanted to explore around guest appearances in podcasts. But Kai, can you kind of give folks an idea of kind of what kind of work you've been doing specifically for Brennan and other types of work around podcasting that you're doing for your clients?
Absolutely. So I bill myself as an outreach consultant. And what I do in a nutshell is I help consultants or product creators, broadly experts in their domain, reach a larger audience and promote their best content and best products to this already existing audience out there. And podcasting sort of has fit in perfectly with that, because with podcasting, we're able to really narrow down to a specific audience and reach them with our message, where with other marketing mediums, it might be broader or a little soggier. With podcasting, we're able to say, hey, we want to reach women who are 21 to 35 who are wondering what to wear or what the hot fashion item is, or consultants who are 30 to 40 who are wondering how to level up their business and just have a really great pre-established audience to work with through the podcast host.
Yeah. How are you going about identifying such specific audiences? I find that analytics and sort of the demographic breakdown in podcasting is a tough nut to crack. How are you guys, how are you going about that with your clients?
I'm working with it primarily on the client side. So in a standard engagement with a client, we'll start off by talking about, well, who do we want to reach? Who is your business reaching now? Who ideally do you want to be reaching in a year? And what do we want you to be uniquely known for? Not necessarily what you've been known for in the past, but what we want our marketing and our work together to help you become known for as we move forward. So the audience in that positioning is really focused on the client side. And once we narrow that down, once we get it hammered down into like as precise a nail as we can, then I'll go out and start identifying podcasts that match up with that positioning or with our messaging. It might not be an exact 1-to-1 or 100% match. I'm looking for 70-80% matches out there. A client might be trying to reach an audience of consultants. I'll be going out there to find podcasts that reach an audience of consultants and that have traffic numbers that are in an approximate range, but I'm much more going for helping my client get exposure across a variety of different podcasts than saying, well, this is the one podcast we absolutely have to get on. Let's put 6 months of work into getting onto it. I'd much rather have us get 6 months of podcasts in the bank and then have enough velocity behind us where that person is like, oh my God, I've seen you everywhere. I have to have you on my show.
Yeah, there is that momentum that comes along with that, right? You get you, and I've even seen that with this show a little bit. You know, hey, I want to get this person or that person on. The first question is always, who else have you had on your show? And I guess the reverse is also true. If you're trying to get a Brendan Dunn onto whatever show, they want to know where else has he put his work out, aside from the body work he puts out himself, right?
Absolutely. And I work with a range of clients. Some are established product creators, like Brendan Dunn, for example, who has a couple products, a couple courses, a SaaS product, a podcast of his own, who are, let's say, very well established. The other side of the spectrum is somebody who's just getting started out, who might not have a body of work, might only be doing consulting, might just be getting started out promoting themselves. And they're saying, well, gee, I kind of got nothing here. What do I do to get started? I don't even consider myself an expert. So my work with them is to both retrain them to think of themselves as an expert. If somebody's paying you thousands of dollars for a consulting engagement, you are de facto an expert. End of story. You could talk to somebody for 30 minutes about that topic. You qualify for podcasting. Check that box.
Yeah.
Then it's getting that momentum going. So it might not be getting you an Entrepreneur on Fire gig week one, month one. It's saying, well, we're trying to reach an audience of consultants who work with Ruby on Rails. Okay, great. Let's go out there and let's start with a smaller podcast just to get your feet wet, just to get some momentum going. And so we'll go through a process of, in that first month, getting you on four podcasts, lining up the future months of podcasts, so we get that momentum. So when we start pitching the next level up, we're able to say, oh, hey, we just had this great guest episode with blah, blah, blah podcast over here. You could go take a look if you like it. We really like minute 5 through 7. We think it really hit a home run there, but it gives that social proof. It gives that validation that the client, the podcast guest, both knows what they're talking about, has done this before, and is able to work as a professional.
How does this, there's a lot of questions I have coming from what you just said, but how does this strategy dovetail with, you know, guest blogging, speaking engagements, things like, I mean, is this one arrow in the quiver, or is this kind of the main outreach authority building tool that your customers are using?
It's really just one arrow in the quiver, and I broadly define that quiver as leverage. So to help my clients build a bigger audience, I'm looking for opportunities for them to tap into existing audiences. And each strategy you just listed there is a perfect example. Guest blogging or guest article writing lets you reach an audience that's already reading a site. Joint ventures or webinars lets you reach an audience that's already existing out there. Podcasting lets you reach an audience that's already listening to that podcast. So each one is one strategy that could help us reach our ultimate goal of building a bigger audience, getting more people lined up to listen to us speak or sign up for our mailing list or buy our products or hire us for consulting services. But at the end of the day, I think it all comes down to leverage. In a sense, judo, if I'm able to get onto a podcast that reaches 1,000 consultants who are experiencing problems that I'm very adept at solving, that's going to give me so much more momentum. That's going to give me so much more force than a smaller podcast or a podcast that doesn't match up with my target audience or just trying to do it myself. By looking for those moments of leverage where I'm able to take advantage of an existing audience and use them to spread my message, promote my best products and content, I think that I'll experience the biggest benefits and my clients following a similar strategy experience the best benefits.
Yeah, nice. So without giving away too much of your secret sauce, can you walk us through the general process you go through of either for yourself, because I know you've appeared on a fair number of podcasts in the last few months. I should say you've appeared on a lot of podcasts in the last few months, I know. or I assume it's a similar blueprint that you have for the client work you do. Walk us through a little bit of the approach of how to first identify and engage the podcast host and work on scheduling and booking and tools you might use. And as much as you want to dig into that, I'd love to hear.
Absolutely. I think the most important thing to think of before we even get started on the drive that is guesting on podcasting, on using the strategy, is for the person listening to this to be really clear on what your positioning is, what you're an expert on or promoting yourself an expert on, and who you want to reach. If you're muddy on any of that, if you're just saying, you know, I'm a marketing consultant who hopes people make more money online, well, there's 10 million of those out there. You need to really consolidate and crystallize your positioning until it's really, really narrowed down, until you're able to hone in on exactly who you're trying to reach and what expensive problem you help people solve. Once you have that identified, then it's really easy for you to go out there and pitch podcasts because you know who you're trying to reach. Again, let's pick on Brennan Dunn because he's a mutual friend and a great example of this. Brennan Dunn runs DoubleYourFreelancing.com. He has two main courses, Double Your Freelancing Rate to help freelancers and consultants increase their rate, and Double Your Freelancing Clients to help freelancers and consultants get more clients. Super clear who he's trying to reach, an audience of freelancers and consultants. Super clear what he wants to help you with. He wants to teach you how to either make more money with your existing clients or go out there and get more clients. So using him as an example of doing it right, we could see he has a crystal clear vision of who his audience is and a crystal clear vision of the expensive problem he could help them solve. When it comes to me or other clients I work with, step one is helping them identify what exactly that problem is we're solving or what we want to be known for, or what our uniqueness is. From there, it's a lot easier to pitch the podcast that we're trying to reach out to. So in my case, I'm recently executed a pivot where I said, well, I want to go from working with e-commerce companies to working with self-funded entrepreneurs, people who are starting their own businesses, not seeking out venture capital and looking to grow something small, stable, and ongoing. And through that shift, I had to address, well, what exactly is it that I'm going to help them do? So my positioning is much more focused on helping people increase their traffic and build an audience. And the audience I'm trying to reach is an audience of freelancers, consultants, and self-funded product creators or people creating their own businesses. So by having that in my mind, it's easier for me to identify exactly what podcasts I want to reach out to because I've already defined them. Podcasts that consultants are listening to, podcasts that self-funded product creators are listening to, podcasts that are already in that sphere. So really, when it comes to step one, it's really knowing who we're trying to reach and knowing what actions I want them to take or what action I want that audience to take once I find them. Having those clear in my mind makes it so much easier to identify exactly who to reach out to.
Yeah, I have to say, just on a personal level, I've seen that work so well with Podcast Motor, with my business, where our tagline is podcast editing and production for self-funded business owners. And it's just like you're saying, it's so clear. I know who I'm talking to and the people, and the real benefit of it is the people I'm talking to understand where I'm coming from too. So it goes both ways to where you know the problems they're having and they know that you understand that and can solve it in a cohesive way.
Exactly. And jumping onto that for a second, when it comes to actually pitching somebody at a podcast, so let's say we've gone through step one, we know who we are, we know who we're trying to reach, we know what makes us unique, and we know what we're going to sell. Step two with all of my clients is just going through a quick workshop exercise where we say, well, let's figure out what stories we want to pitch different podcasts on. And the simple framework I use is we're going to pick one thing that's controversial, one thing that plays to our subject matter expertise, and one thing that plays to our problem-solving expertise. So a controversial opinion might be, in my case, you don't need SEO, you need outreach. So that's me saying, hey, SEO is pretty much dead. What really works these days is outreach to build relationships to get more links and get more traffic to your site. So by going through and identifying these three different topics, these three different pitches, a controversial one, one relating to your domain and one relating to a problem you solve, it makes it really easy to pitch a podcast on having you on. Since you're able to send an email saying, hey, I just saw your episode with Joe such and such. I think it was excellent. He did a great job talking about SEO. I think I'd make a great guest. You know, I could actually talk about how SEO isn't what you need anymore. What you really need is outreach. Here's a quick 2-sentence blurb. Just send me back a quick thumbs up if this sounds like a topic your audience would be interested in. If not, here are two other topics I could talk about. I'd love to talk about any of the three with you for the benefit of your audience. So you've broken it down and made it really clean and clear for the person receiving that email on exactly what you're available to talk about, what your expertise is, and given them a choice of yeses. So instead of it being, do I want to have Kai on or not? It's which one of these subjects is most interesting to me to have a conversation with Kai about for the benefit of my audience. And when I switched my outreach strategy from a yes or no decision, would you like to have person X on your podcast, to this choice of yeses, conversion rates went through the roof because suddenly it was a collaboration. People were able to say, oh my God, yeah, I'd love to have Joe such and such on, but can we blend these two topics? Or can we take topic A, but also touch on this other thing he wrote about over here? It made it much easier to pitch and get people onto podcasts.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, as a podcast host of a couple of shows, the need for easy content or someone helping you with the content production and schedule of your show is an immense help. You know, everyone is out here recording an episode or two a week or more, and to have someone come to you and drop a golden egg in your basket is just wonderful. I would love to have more of that. I mean, that's fantastic.
And it always blows my mind. It's every time I talk to a podcast host and I'm like, oh yeah, this is my system. I pitch them on the three things. I give them like a 3-sentence summary. They're like, holy crap. I wish people would do that for me. And I'm like, why aren't more people doing this? It always struck me as like, this is what you should do 101. And it's amazing that more people aren't doing it. So you could hear it from Craig's mouth and my mouth. If you're trying to get on podcasts, just having those pitch statements, making it super easy for people to decide if they want to have you on, that'll take you to the next level.
And how much do you reference a previous body of work? You talked about kind of stepping up from a you know, sort of lesser known podcast to an Entrepreneur on Fire, or a Pat Flynn type show. How much do you reference kind of the previous step when you're pitching the next level up?
Usually in my outreach emails, I'll include one whale of a podcast, or I use the phrase whale just to mean like one large established one large established previous podcast the client or myself has been on in the PS. So it might be like, hey, here are three topics. By the way, we just were on Entrepreneur on Fire and we talked about X, Y, and Z. Here's a link if you want to check it out. They might not ever click on that link. It's just there to provide that social proof saying, hey, look, we've been on Entrepreneur on Fire or Mixer G or Bootstrapped Web or another one of these large podcasts out there. That validates that I am a serious person or the client is a serious person and it's worth investing the time in having a conversation with us. So I don't go over the top with it, but I'll leave it there just in a polite, subtle way for them to see like, oh, they are serious about this. And one of my clients lists all the podcasts he's guested on his about page. And that's another effective strategy. It gives you a wall of testimonials where you're like, oh, I wonder what podcast he's been on. Oh my God, he's been on 500 podcasts. Yeah. He knows his stuff. So there's a couple different ways you could definitely approach it. I favor the PS strategy. I use it when I'm pitching on guest articles also, just since it's easy to, you know, use that same format of, by the way, we just had a great guest article go live on 99U. Check it out here. It was one of the most widely shared this past season. So it provides that social proof and provides that validation. Even if they don't click through, even if they don't listen to it, even if they have never engaged with you or your brand before, it just lets them see that you're a real person who's doing serious business things.
Yeah, I love the sort of by the way approach to that, because it's so much less threatening than to be straight in your face and, hey, here are my list of accolades and podcasts and guest hosts or guest blogging and things that I've been a part of in the past. And I think social proof is only necessary if in this case the podcast host feels it's necessary. I don't think you have to boast about it up front in every case, but it's nice to have there if you need it.
I've been on the receiving end. So for some of my clients, they have podcasts and I manage the people emailing them who want to get onto their podcast. So it's interesting for me to be on both sides of the equation, both pitching and receiving the pitches. And oh my God, I receive so many pitches from people who are like, well, my Amazon ebook just reached number one in the free section for this subcategory. And it's like four paragraphs of social proof before they say, I would like to be on your show. And I'm like, I'm asleep. I'm already asleep at the third paragraph here. Yeah. Get to the point earlier. And I don't care about you were interviewed on this or that or the other thing. Pick one or two, mention it appropriately, and suddenly it's that much more valuable. When you have 50 different accolades there, it's sort of like, I don't know, my mind goes to a resume where you list every single award you got in college and high school and you're in your mid-30s. It's like, well, this devalues everything else just by having so much here. Focus on minimizing it. Focus on one or two.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So one thing I like to do in every episode is to give sort of specific examples. It doesn't have to be specific, I guess, but examples of things that guest appearance on podcasting has done specifically for you and your business. So I know a lot of your work is client work, but also know you've done a lot of podcast appearances recently. Can you walk through kind of what you've done and what you see in your business as a result of that?
Sure. So one thing I recently implemented was having a custom landing page for each podcast that I'm on. And so if anybody who listens to this episode goes to doubleyouraudience.com/podcastmotor, they'll see a custom landing page set up with a special offer just for you and your listeners. And what I found is having a landing page like that makes it feel a little more unique to the people listening. It's an easier to remember URL than like go to wyouraudience.com/course/blah, this thing, that thing, wyouraudience.com/podcast motor. And it's just really easy for people to remember and take action. And helping my clients implement something like that, hell, implementing something like that for me has helped me grow my list radically. When I'm able to compare my list growth before and after implementing something like that, it's probably twice, if not three times as many people coming through saying, oh, hey, this looks like something valuable. And they're speaking directly to me as a listener of this podcast. It's valuable for me to sign up and get whatever lead magnet or carrot or offer or a content upgrade Kai's offering on this landing page. So that's one thing I've implemented that's definitely helped me. On a macro level, I think podcasting has helped me grow my business from mid five figures to low six figures over the last year just by giving me leverage, by exposing me to a larger audience. I mean, I live in Eugene, Oregon. It's a town of 125,000 people. We've got the University of Oregon here and the Ducks. There's not a lot of consulting work for somebody who's as niched down and specific as I am. If I wanted to be a generalist, I could build a practice here. But podcasting has let me gain exposure to such a wide range of potential clients. It's let me build a real boutique consulting practice and stay in my hometown and just, you know, enjoy going down to the river on a Friday afternoon and hanging out. So I think on a macro level, podcasting has really helped me build the business of my dreams by giving me that leverage and that exposure to larger audiences that I otherwise couldn't reach.
Yeah. Let me jump back to the content upgrade real quick. Is that sort of semi-customized to the show that you're on, or is it pretty just, hey, this is my worksheet on this or my checklist for that or my white paper on outreach?
It goes back and forth. Typically, if an episode is focused on a specific topic or a specific problem, I'd say, hey, we want a content upgrade or a lead magnet, some offer on that page that directly relates to that topic. So if you and I were diving into like the three things you must have on your post-podcast landing page, I'd say, well, obviously we'd want a content upgrade that's like download the checklist for your post-podcast landing page. So you continue that scent. Otherwise, I'll default back to like, hey, here are three things that are valuable that people in the past have enjoyed that I've created. So it depends case to case, but I guess the best answer is it depends case to case. If you're focused on a specific message or you're promoting a course or you have a new book or product coming out and you're going around the podcast circuit to promote that, you probably want everything to carry that same marketing scent. So if your book is about how to solve product X, well, your content upgrade should relate to product X. And the email course they get after that content upgrade should relate to product X. And your podcast appearance should relate to product X. So it's that same experience the whole way through, not, hey, let me tell you about X and then sell you Z.
Yeah, no, so it's totally appropriate to, like you said, the content of the discussion you have and I guess the type of podcast that you're on. And what your overall goal is. I love it. So when are you getting into the podcasting world directly?
You know, I really, really, really want to launch a podcast to talk about the work I've done as a consultant over the last year, helping people grow their audiences. One of my clients, we just did the math and we figured out we tripled his list size and tripled his month over month revenue over the last 6 months of our engagement just through like strategies like we've talked about in our quick call here. I want a podcast to have people like him on, to have other people on to talk about how to grow an audience. And so I think growing an audience is an invaluable thing that any consultant or product creator should be investing time into. The issue for me has been I haven't had the time to focus on it. So my goal is by the end of the third quarter, have it mapped out, get something ready to launch, if not launched by then. But I'm taking it slow just since I know it's very easy for me to put four or five projects on my plate and then only get to one or two. I'd much rather focus on the one or two and get them done well. So coming down the pipeline, no guaranteed date yet.
Gotcha. Well, if you need any help, I know somebody that could probably help you out. No, but it's a very prudent move. I think a lot of people jump in and do three episodes and then realize they have no idea what they're doing and they have no direction for their show and they have no real theme and message. And I think that you know your unique voice and your selling proposition for customers, and creating a show around that will be a piece of cake once you, like you said, are able to devote the time to mapping it out and putting those first 10 people in line and getting it rolling. I'm sure it'll be a massive hit. I would totally Netflix style binge listen to that one. Well, because it's such an important thing. I mean, that's the one constant across any type of business, whether it's consulting or products or info marketing or whatever, is building your audience, getting an engaged and large email list is absolutely across the board the one thing that everyone agrees is the most important thing you can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's, I've joked a couple times online that the one thing that every consultant and marketer says that they wish they started doing 3 years ago was exercising more and building an email list. And it's true because an email list follows you around. Like, I know whatever project I launch next will be built on the back of my previous projects and my previous email list because I'll always have access to those. And for any consultant out there who's saying, oh, gee, I ride that roller coaster of feast or famine consulting month after month. Well, if you have an audience, if you have a list of 500 folks or 100 folks who love what you're doing and you send an email out saying, hey, I've got 2 slots available this month, you got 100 folks who already love the stuff you're creating who are more than likely to buy than a stranger who might happen to show up on your website. So again, exactly like you said, I think building that audience, getting them engaged and having those folks, having that tribe who really loves what you're creating, that lets you get leverage yourself. So suddenly, instead of saying, well, I have to go on a podcast to gain leverage, now it's, okay, great, I've got 2,000 people on my email list, and I know I get 1,000 downloads of my podcast every week. I'm going to launch a new book. I already have the people I'm telling.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's something that I focus a lot on, and I think everybody out there should. I mean, podcasting is a great way to do the outreach like you're talking about to build your authority in an area, and that will allow you to create and build your email list so much faster. I think, like you said, it's a hell of a lot better than SEO at this point.
It really is. SEO is almost the solved game. Here's a sort of controversial opinion I've had in the back of my head. Let me know if I'm right on the target with this or off on this. I almost think it's more valuable for somebody to focus on building a small podcast following than saying, I want to be the next Entrepreneur on Fire. I want to have 100,000 downloads, new and noteworthy on iTunes. Just since if they have like 100 or 200 people who are consistently downloading their podcast, those are 100 or 200 people who are going to be more interested in buying the product or working with them as consultants, that the value is almost in having that smaller audience who's highly engaged than a larger, squishy audience. Do you think I'm on the money with that,
no,
or a bit off
target? You're spot on in the sense of a business podcast. So This podcast, your podcast, you know, a lot of them in the management marketing category in iTunes fit into this bucket of 100 true fans instead of an audience, if you will, that's a poor term, a listenership of 10,000 like Entrepreneur on Fire, one of those where there's a lot of undedicated listeners to that show. It could, because it's entertainment more than educational and things, you know, actual tactical information that'll move your business forward. I absolutely agree. We've had this conversation in some previous episodes, and people flat out say, my downloads will never be 10,000 an episode, and I don't want them to be because that means I'm speaking too widely. And if I'm able to keep my messaging tight and focused to a much narrower audience, they'll get a lot more out of it, and I'll get a lot more out of having that audience than I would if I would have these astronomical download numbers of a dispersive group of people.
I think you bring up a great point there, audience versus listenership, and I'd never thought about that before. We have a mutual friend in Aaron, I'm going to mispronounce his last name terribly, Monkey, I believe, Lore Podcast,
Lore. Sure.
Who has just built an incredible listenership over the past couple of months, almost without intending to. And yeah, I think it's the difference between me saying I want a podcast where we have 1,500 downloads every week, that'll build my business, where he needs a listenership that numbers in the tens of thousands to build a business. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting distinction to keep in mind.
Yeah, and it's just a type of podcast, his entertainment podcast, and it's fantastic. It's one of the few non-business shows that I listen to, but it's trippy. I love it. Yeah.
It's awesome. No, he hit a grand slam.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Cool. Kai, well, I think we'll wrap it up there. Can you tell folks where they can learn more about you and your products and services that you offer?
Absolutely. The best spot to find me online is doubleyouraudience.com. And if you go to doubleyouraudience.com/podcastmotor, just one word there, I'll have some special bonuses put together for your listeners about the strategies I use to help my clients build their audience online through podcast outreach or guest post outreach, different strategies like that. I think it'll be really valuable for them. And they could always follow me on Twitter. I'm Kai S. Davis. And I tweet out a mixture of high-value business content and whatever bad, terrible dad puns cross my mind. So please be warned.
Love it. Kai, thanks so much for hopping on today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kai Davis from doubleyouraudience.com. As Kai said in the interview, head on over to doubleyouraudience.com/podcastmotor to get a free bonus as listeners of the show. I really appreciate Kai for his generosity in putting that together for us. I think it's going to be a really great resource for a lot of people looking to do some outreach of their own and get their name out there to a bigger audience. So, Kai, thank you very much for coming on the show today. You can find the show notes to this episode at podcastmotor.com/episode6. We'll see you guys next time.